It's a new year filled with new mutants and new shows, and Marvel TV Weekly is back. So, belated Happy New Year, and Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, that's right. We're back at a special early time for those watching live. But if you're watching the archive, it doesn't make a difference to you. But thank you for those of you joining us in the chat watching live. I'm Christian Black at Christian DMZ. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. Joined as always by Michael Shirley. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram.
And at the other end of the table, special guest Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman. Special thanks to Sue for being here. No, our pal Carrie Lane will be here eventually. It is raining in Los Angeles, and if you have never been to Los Angeles when it rains, all of a sudden your expected time of arrival goes from 20 minutes to like 2 hours, give or take. I came here from Beverly Hills and just made it instead of getting here the hour early that I thought I would. So anyway, nobody cares, but here we are, and we have a couple of very exciting, or at least as far as Michael's concerned, at least one very exciting season finale coming our way. We're going to talk about both Inhumans and The Gifted, each of which have their season finale coming up.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm really excited for The Gifted
finale. You're excited for The Gifted finale because you can't wait till it's over.
We'll get into that.
What we now know since the last episode of Marvel TV Weekly, Gifted renewed for season two. I know Michael sent a text of there's an old pollution commercial of a Native American who sheds a tear when he sees litter. So it was basically a picture of Michael with just one tear. He just can't believe this. No, but we'll talk about that show. And I read that Runaways would be back for a second season, but yeah. I feel like how could it not, you know? Because our friend Ryan Sands needs to come back for the second season.
Sure.
That's really what it comes down to. So we'll dive into those shows. But the little bit of news that we got in addition to those is we don't have a premiere date for Legion, but we know it'll be on in April. And we also know that we will see the face of the Shadow King in season two. It will not just be Aubrey Plaza. An actor named Navid Nagabran will play Amal Farouk, who is indeed the Shadow King, and not Lenny, who is Aubrey Plaza's character. So, I don't know about you, Michael, but for me, Legion, I have to always quantify everything. Legion is my favorite non-Netflix Marvel show. For just visually, it was so cool. It was so interesting. And just the mind-bending aspect they're able to do with it because of the nature of Legion's powers. And, you know, they do a good job of kind of doling out the information of his backstory. Because believe it or not, my wife did not pick up. We watched every episode. She didn't pick up on his parentage, whatever that word is, who his father is.
Isn't that just for like a second in the episode?
There's just the
very first episode we see a wheelchair.
The wheelchair with the X, but that's it. And I don't think she made the connection. So she doesn't know. Yeah. And I think a lot of people maybe don't know. And if I spoiled it for you, I haven't entirely spoiled it for you. There's a lot of people in wheelchairs. But I wanted to know, Michael, before we dive into these other shows, your thoughts on Legion. Are you excited to see where the story goes from here?
Yeah. I was telling you before the show started that I caught up and I watched Legion because I had mentioned a while back that and Agent Carter were one of the two Marvel shows that I hadn't seen in full. And I'd started Legion and it was just too heady for me. I was like, whoa, I've got to be like in the right mind and place. I was thinking, you know, it was something I'd just sit down and watch, but something you really had to pay attention to.
And that was the problem, because my wife and I, we would watch it in real time on FX at 10 p.m., but we have, a now two-year-old son, so we couldn't stay awake. And it's not because we didn't like it, but so that's the show that if you fall asleep during it, you really get lost. So we'd always have to rewind and be like, what happened?
Yeah. I don't know if I love all of the supporting characters.
Sure.
But I do love the way it looks visually. The cinematography is really nice. Big fan of that. Really excited to see what comes.
Dan Stevens is as David, and I like sort of the weird relationship with him and Sid Barrett. Interesting name, of course. But the interesting thing about that show, you never really know is what you're watching. Did it actually happen? And I think that they maybe went a little too far with some of the mind bend stuff that, the whole thing, you're like, is this really happening right now? Or is this?
Yeah, you know, I think that kind of makes for a fun for the writers because they can kind of do whatever they want when you've got something like that going on.
So,
but I loved Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, expected the way that the season ended, I just expected she wouldn't be back. So I was glad to see the end of season one that there she is. So yeah, I think that it's funny because you'd think that like Parks and Rec was the perfect character for her, but I think maybe we found an even more perfect one for her.
She did such a great job. I don't feel like she got any recognition for it, but she did like really good.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is Noah Hawley who did Fargo as well, and I mean, those are two of my favorite shows.
Didn't that get snubbed last night?
Well, Ewan McGregor won, so you know, yeah, and I think he only won because he played two characters.
It's right, like, worked
twice
as
hard. But yeah, so, and I don't know, I think that it's nice to see when you get that caliber of talent brought to these comic book shows, you know, I mean, obviously a completely different world, but the fact that Josh Schwartz is involved in Runaways, you know, it at least brings some like, okay, this is somebody that knows how to tell stories with this age group and hopefully for this age group. So,
well, I'd read that Noah Hawley, was originally planning for that to be played by a man, and then he just randomly met her somewhere and was like, oh my gosh, you're a Lenny.
Yeah, you're definitely Lenny.
And that they kept all the dialogue the same. So she was, they didn't change like pronouns, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize they were that, because I had heard something of that, but I didn't realize that they were that far in the process.
You notice that she's kind of like, if you listen to her words, you would assume she's like a bisexual person, but it's just written. It's a man's dialogue.
Oh. Well, we'll get to see more of that sometime in April. But between now and then, after next week, the only game in town is going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ah, I'm so loving it.
I know, and I still have to catch up. And we were talking before the show, I should have just started with this season and not caught up on the, 14 episodes I have from last season. I should have just dove in. So now I've just really put myself in a hole, and I don't know, I have like 20 episodes to watch, basically an entire season's worth all of a sudden.
That's what you get for having, procreating.
Yeah, having kids and having to pay attention to them and stuff. But it's a lot easier to keep up on Runaways and The Gifted.
I was starting to get actually a little irritated with Runaways until last week.
The two episodes
before last week, I was like, it was just getting kind of like,
Yeah. I think that one of the interesting things is sort of the way that we're going to go through Runaways as we transition is that we haven't been on this show, Marvel TV Weekly, in a few weeks. So we could break down each episode individually, but I just sort of wanted to do it by character, what they've been up to the last few weeks. But sort of overall, I agree with you. There's definitely some minor feelings of inconsistency, especially when it comes to Chase's dad, Victor. Just, it's like, all right, you kind of explained it away with the brain tumor. Okay, Jonah with the healing. But it's just, that character is so inconsistent.
They drop a lot of bombs.
Yeah.
And then they leave them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what about that? What about that? And I get it.
What are a couple, just one or two that come to mind that like, annoyed you?
Like the old photo of Julian McMahon. Man with Carolina's mother as like a 6-year-old child.
I think she was in the Roy Moore sweet spot of, you know, middle school girls.
Well, they're trying to, you know, make you infer or whatever that
right
was his daughter too. So there's like this whole incest.
Well, and
thing.
That's sort of what we were talking about the last show that we did. We were talking about that there was a real incest vibe from who we now know.
Yeah,
and they've
kind of gone away from that completely.
And I just wonder, you know, did Hulu get a little no. I don't think so. But I felt like we were getting a sort of an interesting story, and then that's why the whole thing of like, you know, when he says, I can't wait to meet Carolina and meet his daughter, that's why we see, you know, the mom like start to cry because she doesn't want him to get close to the daughter. So I thought that we were going to sort of get this, and we still might, you know, they haven't really explored it. I mean, we only have one episode left, which is tomorrow night or tonight at midnight.
Gert and Chase, that was like just so like what?
Like now?
No,
really?
it wasn't. For me, it was more like, I wouldn't have thought that they had sex or whatever unless she was so obvious about wanting you know, that character wanting the audience to know that they had just had to, I just thought they were messing around or whatever. And then I was like, well, gosh.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. But then I was like, well, I guess they probably felt like they needed to make it clear in that episode that it's like, no, that's what happened.
There was no real, I mean, there's a little chemistry between them, but it was a little just too much like, boom.
There's not a lot of chemistry with Chase in general.
In anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
His mom, I mean, his dad.
He likes his dad.
He likes his dad, which he shouldn't. You know? I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to work on these gloves together. But then his dad's a jerk. You know, and so let's start with Chase's family, since that's where we are. The Steins, and you know, Victor gets angry and is gonna kill Chase. Is really what we see at the end of episode 8, and of course, you know, Mom comes in and shoots him. Janet shoots.
Janet.
And I can't believe that's her name. I look down and I'm like, yeah, that is her name. And, you know, it's like, all right, sure, she saves her son. And
yeah, they're all like, screw you.
Yeah, but
then, like, they all want her to, like,
yeah,
die.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, well, you have to die for it. It's like none of the rest of you would have done that. And it's a great point. Like, oh, like Tina wouldn't have shot Robert in that moment if it meant that keeping her kid alive. So, you know, I think that was sort of an interesting thing, the little bit of the sort of almost trying to play hot potato with who needed to die. You know, it's like, and
they all kind of closed ranks on her.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, they basically even threw Dale in there. It's like, well, what does Dale do? And you know, both Dale and Stacey are like, hey, we work together. We're really important.
Yeah.
It was just sort of an interesting thing, you know, because
they don't really care about each other at all.
No, I mean, that is not what the Pride is all about. No. They don't particularly care about each other. And in some cases don't really care about their spouse. Houses, you know, but much less care about the group as a whole.
I was hoping by now we might have had clarified kind of the differences from the comic book a little bit more. Because as we all know, Carolina's family are supposed to be aliens. So we kind of get that vibe.
Yeah.
But then we get like Molly, whose parents are supposed to be mutants. And then we find out, you know, they found this rock. So it's like they weren't mutants, they're just archaeologists. You know, it's just, there are a lot of differences from the comic book that I would like to be addressed, like, so that I know where the story's going. Like, it's fine if you want to change some things, but I just want to know.
Yeah, I think to actually,
like, within the first season, I want to know who is what. Like, are they time travelers or are they not? You know?
Because I think really... that there's a lot of things that could be spelled out, and I feel like, you know, tonight's season finale is really just going to ask more questions than it's going to answer. But I do think that, you know, and by the way, in the chat, Jay Snowden actually really liked the thing we're talking about, where everyone in Pride was trying to figure out who needed to die to save Victor's life.
I'm surprised that they didn't just throw that husband in there, Kit Pardue.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I think that there's just...
That
there's
husband.
Yeah. Mr. Dean. That there's just too much... I guess there's too much involved.
He's too famous?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that he's famous. It's just I think Leslie's the wife's name.
He's supposed to be like a Tom Cruise type,
right, but at the same time, there have been allusions to the fact that he was a part of Pride at some point, and they've used some kind of drug to make him forget, because there's been references to him being a part of it again. And he's like, what are you talking about? I've never done this before. You know, and just a lot of dumb questions. But he's obviously a lot more involved than I thought he was going to be, you know, these last couple episodes.
I thought they were going to kill him off real quick.
Well, and I think that's probably what we're supposed to expect. I didn't expect him and Jonah to be, like, teaming up on, like, a, you know, a buddy comedy, like, you know, cross-country drive trip or something. But
I want to know more about the origins of the family. I want to know where everyone's from before this season's over.
I don't know if we're going to get that. Maybe we'll get a couple of them.
Right. I'm kind of feeling like everything's a little more like Earth-based.
Yeah. I think they might be like going for that.
Carolina's parents are probably the only ones that are actually kind of out there.
Yeah. But I think with Carolina's family, the dynamic with her mom and Jonah is really the most interesting thing. And, you know, as we saw at the end of episode 9, even her mom, Leslie, said that she didn't know that she could glow
that
like that.
That really surprised
me. Yeah, I figured the whole idea that the bracelet was her mom. Like, no, you shouldn't know that you can do this.
I'm starting to think that her mom might be human.
Yeah, she could just be human with some kind of ability that some kind of healing ability, which it seems like Jonah has too. All these sort of things getting a little bit better spelled out one way or the other. We'll have to see. But in general, I thought it was very confusing, sort of the way that the Stein family's dynamic was playing out. But I did like that we saw Victor see sort of the little flash from the future. There was like that it was Chase saying, like, don't put the gloves on, which we saw like at the end of the episode. I was like, I think that's probably what it means. That's probably where it all went to shit. And now materializing in front of us, Carrie Lane, who can be found at Carrie D. Lane. Thank you for braving the damp Los Angeles traffic.
We're like, what is this stuff coming from the sky?
Well, everybody just looks up at it because we don't know what to do.
And they drive so slow.
Yes, but exactly. But we're glad that you're here and you made it safely, that you drove carefully and didn't email me while you were driving, or maybe you did. But anyway, so we've really just started diving into Runaways, and the way that we're looking at it is we're sort of going through each family because it's been about 3-4 episodes since we talked about the show. So instead of doing a break by, play by play on each of the episodes. So we really started, we've talked a little bit about both Chase and Carolina, but your thoughts on the Stein family, the shooting, and we had some fun talking about how all the members of Pride were just trying to figure out who they could get rid of to bring Victor.
Right? They're like, this isn't Survivor. We're not voting for
that. Was very funny, by the way. Yeah. That was Dale,
it's very
good
contemporary, it's like right now. Sorry, I'm like, oh, these have metal on it. The Steins. Oh, wait, wasn't that the moment, too? It was like, really? Was that Nico talking to her dad? She's like, really? It's Janet Stein. You're in love with her.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That was a good one, too. It's like, Janet's really?
Yeah.
Their family dynamic is really interesting and complicated because the abuse is obvious and unclear at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of wonder, you're like, was his behavior because of his brain tumor? Does that justify it? I totally get Chase, wanting to still bond with his dad, even though his dad tried to kill him.
Yeah.
I like that the mom's like, no, I'm going to save my child first. I don't know. I'm curious if he's going to actually still be alive or not. Did you guys say if you thought he's...
We didn't say, but okay. I feel like
he's
going to
pull
through. He'll be fine.
He seems like a semi-bigger name actor that they'll have him for a bit, go away, and come back.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, they for season two.
Maybe he's got another project.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got him for like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
One of those things. And we were also talking a little bit about Carolina's family. And I agree with Michael that we're sort of... they've sort of danced around some really interesting issues with her mom, Leslie, and Jonah, and sort of this weird, incestuous possible relationship. He's like, he says, is like a friend of her dad's. It's still creepy. It's still wrong because there is the picture of her, graduating from middle school or whatever that picture is, with him. So what are your thoughts sort of on the Dean family, basically?
Well, we had talked about it a little bit before, and then I think you weren't here, so I'm not I'm curious on your opinion on it. It seemed almost like when we weren't 100%, I'm pretty sure Jonah is her dad.
I think that's even both Leslie and Jonah have said that he is her dad. Yeah,
but when he first was talking about wanting to meet her, it almost felt incestuous.
Right, that's actually what I said, and I think that's why she wanted to keep him away.
Yeah,
because and then that sort of fed into the notion that they had an incestuous relationship, but it's very unclear in these last few episodes.
It also kind of seems like he's predicted her and kind of waiting for her because very first episode he. There's this painting of her that was done,
a long time ago,
like the sparkly woman.
But is it her?
Yeah.
I think that's a safe bet.
Well, and the mom's we're talking about. Well, we don't know the finale's today, right?
Well, it's tonight at midnight.
We don't get to talk about it.
I know,
but because we haven't seen.
They have all kinds of future tech, so maybe they can know things about the future.
But her mom does the line where they're like, did you know about that? And she pretty much was like, I had hoped it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, so what does that mean?
And one of the things that I mentioned was that there have been references made to, the dad, Mr. Dean, Frank Dean, Kip Pardue.
Oh, dude, he totally turned her in. I was disappointed.
And the notion, apparently, that he apparently was part of Pride at one point, but then, Men in Brainwashed Black.
Brainwashed out.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that we're going to get to see all of that come to fruition. We'll see more of that. You know, it's interesting. It's each episode has brought more questions. It mm-hmm. looked like, oh, it's a couple of answers, but no, now I have like 10 more questions than I did before the episode started.
But they're like good questions. You're not just tuned out because you don't care. We want to
know. I just
want
to know about the background of all the families, like where they're from. I want to know that before that the first
I don't think we're going to get it.
Not now. Not yet.
Because the season finale, we got one more episode. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to get all of it right away. But I think we'll start to get some answers.
We finally got a little bit more on Molly's parents.
Yeah, I think that was interesting to finally get to see them. Yeah, that was actually great that she had no idea what VHS was. You know, that was a great way to...
Oh, an AV club.
Yeah, and then the shout out to how the AV club is, of course, the example of the worst club in every teen movie.
I like that's on Stranger Things, though. They're part of AV club.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's pretty proud of it.
Yeah, that's true. Those kids are very proud of it.
That show.
Stranger Things just can't stay out of Marvel TV Weekly. But so I thought that was very funny. But we actually did get to see, and there was a you know, very informative flashback of Molly when she was little and the rocks and all of that. And
so did she get her powers from the rocks?
That's what my takeaway was. And that's why she's the only thing that survived that whole lab exploding.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Then she should be napping, but then it would be unclear and you might think she was dead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe she was stronger when she was three, you know? She
true.
Just how's, how's a rock going to make you a mutant, though? That's kind
I mean,
of...
Is
well,
it,
it's
is,
alive,
is it,
in
is
a
it
way.
The Inhumans built entirely around that, basically? Like the Terrigenesis rocks and things like that? I mean, this isn't exactly the same. So it doesn't make you a mutant, but, you know, I mean, the Fantastic Four were bombarded by cosmic rays, Bruce Banner and gamma rays, you know?
We don't know what that rock material really is.
Yeah, what's inside
why
of it.
Is it glowing? Why does it move?
Yeah. That's true. So it's a great question, but I feel like it's entirely possible that
she's probably not a mutant. It's probably just something else.
Yeah.
I just because of the differences in the comic books, I just kind of want to know where everyone's from and like what their deal is, just so that I can.
Well, wait.
I don't
then
know. Like store it away in my brain.
Is anyone technically a mutant in the group then?
Yeah, Molly's supposed to be, or both her parents were supposed
to
be.
But I mean,
yeah,
this show.
Carolina, I would say, is
Carolina was supposed to be an alien. And
if she's the child of Jonah, right?
Right, I guess.
Is he an alien?
And by the way,
parents were time travelers.
As much as I love Alex, so his superpower is that he's good at computers. Okay, great. That's not, you really bring a lot to the table.
Nico's parents were wizards.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, which they kind of like make it. You know, with the name of their company being
Wizards. Yeah. Way to go under the radar.
Yeah, I just want to know how everything's laid out. Because I'm like, I keep looking at those Gert's parents. And I'm like, are these time travelers? Because they're so dopey. Like,
they're very dopey.
Like, they're adorable, like though.
Yeah.
Adorables, because they're adorable.
Like, no wonder they're stuck in this time. Like, I don't know. I just want to know.
And since we're talking about the Yorks family, what do you think, I'll start with you, Carrie, about you know, Gert's story arc the last few episodes? I mean, she's got her trusty dinosaur, which is great.
I want more with the dinosaur.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting teased.
They're like, let's leave it in the car.
Yeah.
Why?
And then, of course, the joke
you
about
it.
You have to leave the window open because it's L.A.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so
that was
funny.
Cute.
There's a lot of cute moments in the show. It's actually a lot funnier than...
let's
than
call ourselves the Runaways.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's too depressing. And Nico's like, yeah, even for me.
Well, because they're like, yeah, of all the kids who ran away and died, or, you know, they died.
So, I mean, it is super depressing. Let's not pretend it isn't. But anyway, sorry, I answered the question I asked you. So what did you think about what Gert's been up to?
I do like Gert's arc, and I like how she and Carolina have had their standoffs, and in good ways of, well, you're not expressing your emotions. Well, neither are you. Good point, ladies. It's like, I'm glad you are saying those things out loud. But then she has a moment with Chase where they're like, so was that like a one-time thing? Guys, just say what you're thinking and stop assuming.
No, I mean, they're teenagers. You never say what you're thinking.
But she seems like that person who would.
But she's just, you know, super awkward and doesn't know how to interact.
Though
with it.
She can handle herself with older men because when she's with the security dudes, she was totally fine.
Yeah.
And they were totally into her, which you're like, oh, this goes almost creepy because they go, wait, how old are you?
When I like that she addressed them. Yeah. And by the way, I love that Star Wars video game that's in there.
Fun too.
But
I'm surprised they didn't have an X-Men video game in there. You know,
that's true.
I was just a little surprised.
It's all Disney.
They picked Star Wars.
They all own
still.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, and Carrie, were you surprised that her and Chase found time to have sex at the dance?
Well, it's a I cheered for them, and I cheered for Caroline. And
yeah, I want to talk about that next. I want to talk about that next.
Well, it was one of those moments where you're. It made sense that their relationship develops because, and then they're finally with because her and Chase kind of said it where she's like, "I felt ignored by you." And then he goes, well, I wasn't ignoring you. Or, you know, they finally are talking it out where you're like, oh, thank you. But it's more not that they found time, but, okay, we're on a super important mission. Hey, you want to have sex? Like,
which it's like I have to say, if when I was in high school, if I had been on a super important mission and somebody had asked me, it's like, oh, yeah, the mission's not that important. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's every single horror movie as well. It's like, we're going to die. So you want to have sex. But they do point out that they're like, well, if this is our last night, then I'm like, well, then they should. Because she goes, if this is our last night, I want one dance.
Right, exactly. And by one dance.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Vertical dance?
presumably. We don't know. But they're kids, so should we not?
I hope they wore protection.
What if Gert didn't? You know, she's so outspoken on all that. Yeah.
But they also
think they might die, so they're like, yeah, it's fine.
As a show, though, I like how they did kind of treat teen sex in terms of they show it, but not like it wasn't gratuitous. And you get it. And it is we're hormonal teens, and they kind of have the awkward talk after. Yeah. So it felt very real instead of it feeling artificial. Yay, teen sex storyline.
I was very surprised. By the way, Jay Snowden in the chat says the love interests in the show don't really work for him. I did not see the Carolina Nico storyline coming. Even the first time when they were together. No. They were just.
Oh, when they have their getting ready party.
Yeah, and then that's what, and I was like, oh, is that what that was? I'm just an idiot. But I was like, well, this is kind of a fun wrinkle to the storyline. You know, it's not really a love triangle with Chase and Gert and Carolina, you know, because Carolina's like, yeah, I'm out. I'm not in the love triangle, you know.
Well.
Did you know already from the very beginning?
Oh, I just knew from the comic
book. Right.
It's okay. Like that in the comic
book. But I was excited, and, you know, because, and I don't know if it's because it's Hulu that they weren't squeamish about it. They actually had them kiss, you know. And,
I don't think it's going to work out for them.
I don't think it's going to work out for them. Of course not. But I was just like, well, that's nice. And we're not really sure how Nico feels about it. She's just like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess.
I think she's super into dude.
I mean, come on, because.
She kissed her back.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But do you think she's just really into Alex and she's just mad at him?
Yeah. Yes. But we haven't explored if Nico's bi or. Because Carolina's like, okay, we get it. Like her thing with Chase, you go, oh, that's why it was awkward. She's just really not into
not
him.
Into
and
dudes,
then that makes sense. I totally buy the Carolina to Nico, but I'm more curious where Nico stands on all this.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because she had, you know, it obviously all happened so fast. She hasn't addressed it for the course of the audience, but I was glad they had their little moment.
And at least it is one of those like, oh, that is testing the water a little fast of if you don't know if someone likes you back. But she does the line, well, if we're going to die tonight, I want to make sure I did that.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely, and it makes sense. And
look, I'm rooting for them. I like them.
Even if Nico is really just so hung up on Alex, she's probably like, I mean, look, Carolina's hot. I don't know what the actress is, so maybe that's creepy that I said it, but I feel like it's all right to address the fact she's a very pretty girl. So she's like, I'm just going to go with it, you know? I mean, why not?
She almost took her bracelet off. Did you want to take it off to see if I glow? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that's true. That old small talk. I find, you know, all of these different dynamics to be interesting. And, I like the story we got of Molly kind of investigating, you know, the parents. And I don't know that train stations have lockers anymore. I'm sorry. Stuff like that just bother me.
No, that one. Yes.
You sure about that? That a commuter rail in Montebello?
One. Like, yeah, maybe Union Station where it's
maybe,
a bigger
but,
one.
I mean, that's like,
stop, you
they
guys.
Don't do that because
stupid.
You can put bombs in there. That's why they don't have them anymore.
I just thought it was dumb that she's like, what is this key thing? I'm like, duh, it's a locker. Haven't you watched any movies or TV shows?
Well, not on VHS, apparently.
Right? That's how you're like, that's like the stupid commercial where the girl's like, what's a computer?
Yeah. I don't know. And
yeah.
I think,
oh my God. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think
the
Molly's,
iPad commercial.
Molly's really coming into her own, and I think we're getting to
well, and she's surviving out there in like does stuff. I like the Ferris Bueller's Day Off line
too. That was fun. Yeah, exactly. I like really... the dynamic of her and Gerd. I think, you know, I mean, it's very, they have a great like sisterly bond where it's a lot of times movies, TV, siblings always hate each other, but then they eventually come around for whatever reason, for the sake of the story, you know, maybe, speaking of The Gifted, you know, but eventually, so I like the fact that they're just like, yeah, they have a whole banter, a whole rapport, and it's nice. I like seeing them together. Mm-hmm. Molly wasn't gone for very long. It was like, mm-hmm. welcome back. You've been gone for half an episode. But that was interesting. What were you going to say, Michael?
Oh, no, nothing.
Nothing.
I'm good.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Let's get on to The Gifted.
Well, we'll get on to The Gifted, but, you know, I guess we haven't talked about Alex. We haven't talked about Alex yet.
He's my least favorite.
But
he really is.
What about,
is.
And as mentioned in the chat, really, Chase smashing his laptop. You're so strong and you're a job. Why don't you just take his laptop? And it's like, no, now I have it because I'm stronger than you. Nerd, you know.
Alex is definitely my least favorite in the bunch. I'm like, why is
he
there?
He has the best hair.
He's supposed to be like the genius or whatever, but it seems like Alex? Chase is covering that. Yeah,
Chase is smarter than I think we were led to believe.
He's more tech smart. Yeah. He's not very
like,
socially.
What is Alex's purpose?
He can hack the, you know, complicated server codes
until you break his computer.
Yeah, and he knew the passcode.
And he's like,
No, if he is so techy, I'm surprised. I'm like, one, you didn't put that on a backup server online.
Well, it wasn't downloaded, but you're right.
No, he's like, it's all done. Yeah, I have it all. Where is your backup file? Where's your flash drive? Cloud something.
I don't think it really will. I mean, we'll find out in the final episode.
Because we don't know how long he was sitting
there.
Back.
But that bothered me. And also, Nico's like, well, I'm going to charge my sister's phone in her bedroom under the bed where maybe somebody can find it.
That
and also in the room I'm not supposed to go into. Let's not go charge it in my room.
I didn't really catch what the point of having
take
it in
an external
that room
charger
was.
Well, I mean, because that's where it would have been. But yeah, why did she leave it there? I think just because she was still looking through the bag and she plugged it in.
No, it's dumb to leave it there. Like external charger, portable chargers. You know, she could have had it in her bag charging. Charge it with her laptop, I mean, something to have it with her.
Unless we find out that, you know, Robert, when he was in there and after Nico left, that he like looked under the bed for God knows why, but found it and like learned something from it. I mean, that's the only thing, the only thing where it makes sense story-wise. But anyway, so we have one more episode of Runaways until season two, which whenever that'll be. And it kind of, I think episode 9 ended in sort of like a great, like epic showdown.
Yeah, but I didn't want it to end.
Yeah,
I wanted to see what happened.
The Runaways versus the Pride. And,
oh, that was a great standoff.
I think that dinosaur is going to be jumping out of the car
too.
That dinosaur,
I
feel like that dinosaur's eating somebody.
Oh, please.
And,
you like,
you know,
how all the parents flinched though when Molly's like, we're ready to fight. They're like,
and they're like, whoa, where'd that come from? I like the way that, you know, Tina just took the staff back from Nico. It's like,
she's off.
Oh, you could have learned how to do this. But,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we're just going to see where it all goes. And, you know, we got to see a little bit more of Amy's backstory, but that still hasn't been entirely spelled out because...
Who's the person who texted her?
Who's the he? And who's the he that's there?
It's Jonah.
Would you like to theorize that it's Jonah? Do you have a theory as to who it is?
I think Jonah killed him.
Michael.
I don't know.
Killed Amy? Because my theory, it's their dad, Robert. I think that might be why he was so quick to kill himself, because he knows that he's a terrible person. Because it's...
Sacrifice himself for the woman he loves,
one of the only people that would have had the access and the ability
given
to do it.
Given everything... It seems like she probably died for, like, some of that Gaborum crap.
Right. Well, yeah. I
maybe
don't know.
Carolina's mother.
It'll be interesting to see.
If I had to pick somebody, I'd probably pick Carolina's mother had something to do with it.
They just had the weird flashback with Jonah in her room with her as a little kid that I'm like, I'm pretty sure Jonah did it.
Right.
And
to me, that's a red herring, that we're supposed to think that it's Jonah.
Right.
Because
that's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's Victor. You know, we don't know. We'll find out.
They're obviously willing to kill other people.
Yeah, right, exactly. And this is they don't mess around. But I don't know, I think it's all going to come together, and I'm looking forward to the big fight. And don't forget that Jeffrey Wilder's, you know, buddy from jail is still like hanging out on the periphery, seeing what's going on.
You like him? He's like, there's something going down.
There's something going down,
know.
And I think he's going to play a big part. He probably he probably shouldn't, but he will. And, you know, obviously, because that's why he's still there. I don't know. I'm excited for that. Yes, Michael, I'm very excited about the season finale 1 week from tonight of The Gifted. But before we talk about that, we are here. We always talk about Marvel TV, but that doesn't mean we don't just like all superhero TV. And we want to let everybody know that on January 16th, when the CW's newest superhero suits up, lightning's going to strike. Don't miss the electrifying new series, Black Lightning. Black Lightning, a.k.a. Jefferson Pierce, had previously powered down his crime-fighting career and for the last 9 years had been saving lives the best way he knew how as principal of the local high school. But in this city, when the hero's away, the gangs will play. And this dude's a family man, so when his people get caught in the crosshairs, it's time to take charge. Now the former hero is back in full force for a second round against corruption and violence, because lightning does strike twice. It's dark days for the city of Freeland, but the storm is coming when Black Lightning brings his power to the people. Not only will the series Black Lightning spark you up, but also the soundtrack is full of slamming hip-hop cuts from the likes of Rome Fortune and old-school hits from blues singer Nina Simone, Bobby Bland, and the great Isaac Hayes. On January 16th, the world will know Black Lightning, series premiere after The Flash, only on the CW. So that's something to look forward to. Not a show that we will cover here on Marvel TV Weekly, but there'll be a Black Lightning panel here at AfterBuzz. And also, I believe, the DC Movie News on Popcorn Talk, they also talk about the TV shows too.
Trailer looks cool.
Roxy does that. Yeah, and I think that's going to be great. And of course, you know, they mention on the soundtrack, Isaac Hayes, also known as Chef from South Park. So you see, I mean, I am one of the hosts of South Park.
Working in your other after show.
I always try and get them all in here. You know, get them all in on one show. But anyway, so that's something to be excited for. But I have to say, catching up on The Gifted the last couple weeks, I was really enjoying it because they started to at least begin to weave in a little bit more of the Marvel superhero
universe. The actual universe. Yeah, like the actual.
We're talking about the Hellfire Club. The references made that the triplets have the last name Frost in some way related to Emma Frost, who, assuming this is the same continuity as the movies, died in X-Men First Class. Yeah, so that would make sense. But I like those characters anyway, whether there's a connection or not, but you don't. It's like how their last name is Strucker. You don't do it by accident that their last name is Strucker and the triplets' last name are Frost.
She does look a little bit like
January Jones.
Well, just
like the Emma comic Frost. Especially the haircut. Frost. They all have the Emma Frost haircut. And, you know, when that character was first introduced, I was like, she's really annoying. She's so lame. What is she? What's her?
Esme.
But you always knew Esme was up to something. It was way more interesting than I thought it was.
Oh, the mind control took that power to a whole other level. Yeah. Like the power, like superpower of suggestion.
When she's getting all of the Sentinel Services guys to kill themselves, you're like, okay, so this is kind of what was missing from the show. Not forced suicide, but this level of kind of raising the stakes and the excitement and the way that the story was advancing, you know? I was very entertained by that. Yes.
However, but why did she need them to get there to do all that? Because it seems like she could have done that all by herself.
Yeah, I don't quite know why she needed the help, but I think it's a proximity thing. I think they were trying to explain the way that her power works.
Yeah, but she was by the gate. Yeah. Like, nobody. It seemed weird, except for making the extraction happen.
I think she probably was hoping that they would just kind of offer to help her. You know, like,
but
like
she
being
seemed
friends
like she
with
could
them.
Handle it, you know? So then she I'm kind of like, why'd she need the help? But she clearly was able to do a lot more than we thought.
She also, did they mention that she'd lost some sisters or no?
I don't know that they mentioned that.
Okay. She just said family. I don't think she mentioned anything specific. Because the like flashbacky thing where it's the courthouse and the guy, when she's getting that power suggestion, then it was interesting because she reads other people's minds. But this was somebody else who had powers pushing on her. So that was probably her sister.
I think I'm just getting stuff confused with the comic books. Because in the comic books, there are at least five.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So,
are they all, like, literally...
And some of them die in the comic
books. And there's
books.
No connection to Emma Frost in the comic books.
No, they're called the Cuckoos.
Right. And that's referenced, but sort of as an alias. And we know that at least that Esme's last name is Frost. So.
Could they combine?
Yeah, they have the same first names in the comic books.
Okay.
But in the comic books, they don't all make it. You know. Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe some of them died, and so she wanted more help.
Okay. Right,
she didn't want to lose anymore.
But
I don't
think it's added sort of a more tangible because the biggest problem I've had with the show is I'm not worried about Sentinel Services. They're not a good villain.
They're lame.
Like, actual Sentinels are way more interesting.
I know.
Even those I've never been a fan of. But, you know, so to have sort of other superpowered people involved, you know, the evil scientist, the dad from Raising Hope, like,
I know.
I'm just like, I can't buy you. You're the dad from Raising Hope.
I know.
And, you know, also, like, why, you know, Andy and Lauren's parents thought, like, we're going to go talk to Agent, what's his name?
Sorry. I can't believe they want to go to Mexico and just leave everyone.
Yeah, so I know.
Yeah,
it's like, we're out. So.
Like, they're the most useless, like, people there.
I continue to feel that the show would be better if they
weren't.
Like,
they were like, thanks for teaching the kids, like, math and stuff.
Yeah, but it's now like, you're out, yeah.
It's like, there's useless.
Yeah. But hey, at least Lauren got to see Wes again because we were all
asking
for
that. She was so excited.
She's so excited.
Oh, now that was you're now the coolest dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been that would have been the isolated line if we had been doing the show that week.
But he's an interesting character, Wes, in that way of having the, like, a security. So, I mean, he's not... I like that his
character I mean,
came
his power
back.
Is useful, which, you know, a number of the characters on the show, their powers aren't particularly useful.
Yeah.
I'm still hoping that it didn't happen, but it seems like Sony is really dead. And that's one of the characters I like the most. You know, I could put together a list of people that I would like to have seen die instead of her.
She's done.
Both of the Struckers.
I think
she's
done.
Always like a cameo on shows. That actress, she'll like come on for like six episodes.
And she's like, all right, I'm good. Yeah, I get to renew my...
She's just building that resume.
Well, she's just she's renewing her SAG dental coverage. She's like,
I did a good shocking death, though. Because then you were like, wait,
shocking.
Her? What?
Yeah. And, you know, I like what we've seen in terms of Andy and Lauren using their power together. And, you know, then conveniently, you know, Andy gets bumped on the head, so he can't. But
darn.
I know, but it's like, all right, well, if in the next Monday, it's a 2-hour season finale. And
really?
As we mentioned earlier, I said that earlier, so you have to watch 2 hours of it.
Well, we won't have time to do that because we'll be here on the air, so we won't get to catch all 2 hours of it.
No, because it's the East Coast feed. It ends at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. So we would just have to be here at 5.
That's right.
I don't know if I can get here at 5,
I need
in all honesty.
Ms. Strucker
Look,
here to do the
whether,
math.
Whether we talk about it next week or the week after, we still have to talk about it, so...
Then we can start diving into S.H.I.E.L.D. because
I know,
all,
I really,
that's all
I
there's going to have left.
We're only going to have S.H.I.E.L.D. So once S.H.I.E.L.D. is the only show on the air, I have to watch it. I have to make the time. I'm planning to make the time.
I'm really getting into it. Have you seen much
I
of the new
I was able to
season?
Catch up. I didn't, I'm not totally caught up, but I was able to watch a bit
while
visiting family because they recorded it. I don't watch live TV. I watch it here, so I have to get here. But it was nice to catch up a bit with family because they watch it as well. So that
it's
was cool.
Getting good.
Yeah.
And we're about 5 episodes in, I think, on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Six.
All right. So
I think I gotta see
exactly
at least.
It's exactly 20 episodes that I have to watch. So once it gets to 22,
have
that's
to watch. The way you say that,
I need to watch. I want to watch.
Get to
that's
watch.
It.
Yeah. You know. And the fact that you told me that Ghost Rider comes back at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Privileged to watch.
Yeah, it'll be a privilege to watch, and we'll be able to talk about it. And also, by the way, there is the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show, which I believe is Sundays here in AfterBuzz. The Gifted, Sundays on AfterBuzz. And I think Runaways is also Sundays.
Runaways is on Tuesdays.
All right, that's what I meant. Tony B. Dead in the booth at Tony B. D-E-D.
And they're going to be covering also 2 episodes tomorrow with a special guest, so stay tuned.
Ooh,
do you know
who
the special guest is, or you don't want to say?
It rhymes with Sichter.
Oh, the guy, wow. That's actually, that's a good get. I mean, I'm more of a Ryan Sands guy because he did our show, but good for them. Good for them that they
did
got.
You guys know Molly came in?
No, I didn't know that.
I met Allegra Acosta as well. She was fantastic. You can also check out that interview.
Okay,
as well.
So you didn't try and get her for this show? Anthony, you work for all these shows, I know, but you could try and help us out. And we would have loved to have talked to Molly. But should I be yelling at Jeff?
I mean, I can help you out too. I just I don't want to step on anyone's toes for their shows because it's your show technically. I just way.
What, do you think I don't want guests from the shows that we cover? We'd love to.
Well, we can still get people and talk about, like, post the season. Well, now it'd be like, how was that finale?
I know, now I have to reach out. You know who I'm going to try and get for next week? The dinosaur. I hope that he's able to be, or she's able to be.
I'm surprised you didn't get Lockjaw a few months ago.
Oh, don't think I didn't try.
You wouldn't fit in the studio.
I tried to get Black Bolt. I tried to get Medusa. I tried to get Crystal. Anyway, but that's all right. I don't think they wanted to do press for that show. Anyway, so looking forward to these two season finales that we're going to have after tonight. And I've been very happy with Runaways and The Gifted. It's growing on me. And yes, ZSB Lou points out they've added the purifiers too. So they're definitely, you know, it's his kind of episode. So we're doing, I don't know, they're heading in the right direction. The idea that there was going to be a season two, I think 6 weeks ago, I was like, but what's going to happen? Now you're like, all right, at least they're dealing in the universe. They're talking about the X-Men. They're talking about Magneto. You know, there's things that are being referenced. So we'll see. And this idea that Polaris is stronger because of the baby, because they're all teaming up.
That was cool.
That was kind of an interesting thing that apparently Michael didn't buy.
No, but, because like literally a woman's body changes and adjusts and hormones because of a baby. So why not your powers adjust and change?
Exactly.
I just don't see her as a mother.
Oh, well, I mean, that's different.
Not a good one.
Yeah.
I just don't see her as a mother.
She's not very mommy-like. No, but I thought that was a cool concept, though, the powers could change.
Yeah, it is an interesting concept. Yeah. And the idea that the Hounds are sort of being paired up to amplify their powers.
That was kind
of cool. And, of course, Team Fenris, Lauren and Andy. So it's a lot of stuff.
And he's drawing a wolf, too, someone pointed out in the chat.
Oh,
his drawing was a wolf.
Was a wolf. So you see there, and Fenris, mm-hmm. wolf. So you see there's a lot to look forward to in the next week. Michael, our final thought. You've come around a little bit on The Gifted, right?
It's the best it's ever been.
Right. So does it feel like a chore to have to watch it? Because for me, it didn't. Like, I was really looking forward to watching Runaways. I'm like, oh, let me get The Gifted out of the way. But I did enjoy the last couple episodes.
I think Esme and her sisters have made it slightly
better, is what you're trying to say.
It's made it better.
It's very difficult for you to say, but it made it slightly better.
There's just so many. It's just hard to compare that show to some of the other shows we have that are just
like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
masterpieces.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
It ebbs and flows its way.
I'm really liking right now. The first few episodes, I was like, I don't know, but I'm really liking it.
All right. Well, we'll talk lots more about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a couple weeks when it's the only Marvel show on. But we have Runaways and, of course, The Gifted finales are the Gifted finale is 1 week from tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. 7 Central. They always get to have their time called out, 7 Central. And the Runaways would be tonight at midnight. I'm going to be up feeding my daughter a bottle, so I'll probably just watch it tonight and just be excited.
Tweet ya.
And you know, I'll share my thoughts online if you want to follow me on Twitter at ChristianDMZ. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat. And yes, ZSB Lou, we talked about earlier, Legion will be back in April. We don't know the exact date, but it's going to be back very soon for season two. And thanks, everybody, in the chat. And thanks to Michael and Carrie. Michael, where can people find you?
You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram.
And Carrie.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
All right, thanks again to everybody. Thanks to Anthony, Tony in the booth, at Tony B D E D. We will see you all next week. Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.